Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. What a warm week. I've had my shorts on all week, so I nearly came in them today, but I just didn't have the nerve.
Praise God.
I was going to say, I don't think you'd have coped with the side of my knees, I'm afraid. I couldn't inflict that on you, so. Yeah, Tim Meyer, I live in Mass, just down the road there with my family, and I'm really pleased to be with you today, extra pleased, because it gives me a break from home, where my youngest at Bydell School is doing his mock exams next week. So it's revision all the way this weekend. So, you can imagine that's going really well. So I'm delighted, extra delighted to be with you today. So, what do we believe? Hopefully, things come up that I put in. There it is. Brilliant. Seamless. What do we believe? What we believe. What we believe. Hopefully, today is the right subject matter, the correct reading, and everything is on point for where you are in your series. Because I know that you've been doing things slightly differently the last few weeks. Slightly different from normal, or exploring our statement of beliefs, I think you call it. Is that right? Yeah, let's go. The statement of beliefs in response from a request within the congregation to take the opportunity of ensuring that we cover the basics. What we believe, we cover the basics. I know some of you have been church goers for many, many years, but it's always good to cover the basics. So it helps us as we try and reach out to those around us who maybe aren't so sort of on board and don't really understand what we believe. So that helps us to be able to share and equip us with that. This week, it's all about unity and the part we all play in providing unity within the church. And hopefully the next slide, John. I was inspired by Melissa's slides last week, so I've put together mine. These are the ones for this week's short talk. And it basically covers that Christ is the head of the church. All people have a role in church to serve each other. Jesus directs, he directs us all, just as a body works together. And there is only one church, though many expressions of church. And finally, the church is to be united in love and worship of Jesus. So that's sort of the theme, if you like, this week. And that hopefully will cover some points of how we become a people of power, as we just sung with gusto a few minutes ago. So to illustrate those points, we're going to turn now to Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 16. Ephesians 4, 4 to 16. And it transitions, if you like, from those early passages in Ephesians 1 to 3, where Paul was talking about the theological side to our faith. Now, in Ephesians 4, we get onto the practical side of how we as a church live it out today. And that suits me because I like the practical stuff. The theory is, you know, I understand it's necessary, but I'm a sort of, I guess, a doer, if you like. Give me the practical jobs. How do we live this out day to day? So we're going to now have the reading, which again, hopefully will come up, John. And the next slide, if I've done it rightly. Right, it's one before that, but never mind. I'll read it out. Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So thanks be to God for that. So in summary, Paul's urging believers to live lives worthy of their calling. You see, this was pointed at the very early church, which had come together with very different backgrounds and beliefs, and he was trying to insist on some sort of unity between them. He draws heavily on relationships, togetherness of the Christian faith. And it emphasizes unity in the church, the diversity of gifts, perhaps, and the transformation of believers into the likeness of Christ. Now, you might have seen, I don't know, if you were hearing the news the other week about the story that came out of Scarborough, which amused me. It was a daughter that wanted her mum to leave her a bit of a legacy. A chap walking on Scarborough Beach picked up a bottle, and it had a bit of dust inside it. He picked it up and looked at it more closely, and it said a little note, and it read, "This is my mum. Throw her back in. She's travelling the world. She's travelling the world. Thanks from her daughter." So the radio station tracked down this daughter, Sarah. And of course, the bottle of ashes had been sent out to sea by Sarah. And Sarah revealed on this radio show that her mother had never been able to travel much, never been able to realise her dream of travelling the world in her lifetime because of her responsibilities as a single mum. So in a kind of poignant move, I think, following her mum's death, Sarah put her mum's ashes into this bottle and put the bottle in the sea, saying she wanted to see where her mum ends up, hopefully Australia or Barbados, somewhere like that. So she was asked on the radio, where had she thrown this bottle in? She said, Scarborough. Scarborough. And how long was it before the bottle was found, the interviewer asked her on the radio? 6 hours later. 6 hours. It had been travelling the world, her mum. Just 6 hours later, someone found that bottle on the same beach. So Sarah said, life happened. My mum never got to travel in her lifetime, Sarah said. No one was meant to find her for a little bit. She was meant to be in a completely different country. Anyway, since then, the bottle's been returned to the sea a bit further out, with Sarah telling the BBC that she hopes she'll travel a bit further this time. So it got me thinking, I mean, her daughter wanted to serve her mum in an act of unity and love, to carry on her legacy, as it were, to help illustrate her legacy of their loving relationship. And that illustrates a bit for me today in my talk, because as Christians, surely we all want to serve our Lord, do we not? We want to serve our Lord best we can. And to illustrate our loving relationship, a relationship of togetherness, something that unifies us together. So what do we believe, I wonder, what our legacy of the church should be here today in Mask? How do we build up a people of power? Well, in Ephesians 4 there, 4 to 16, we're given the very hallmarks of what a church should be. Of what a church should be. It's all about unity and togetherness. Paul's clear, isn't he? He's clear. The church is called to do God's work on earth. We're all ministers, Paul says, with a variety of gifts created by God to use those gifts in his service. And when we do that, folks, we see something amazing and we see something powerful. So I've just chosen three verses from Ephesians 4 to illustrate this that I think we can look at. Maestro. Hey, there we are. Let's start. First four. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. One body. All believers, regardless of status, however rich you are, however brilliantly if you've got degrees from Oxford or not, if you wear shorts or you don't wear shorts, you wear gowns or you wear flashy headgear, you're united in Christ. Unity is the central reflection of the church's early struggles to make some sort of cohesion with the various different backgrounds of those early Christians. We're all called today to travel on the same road and in the same direction, to stay together both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who rules over all of us and is present in all. And Paul begins with that exhortation. The emphasis on unity is all about oneness. Not uniformity, that's quite different. One, but we're not necessarily all the same. To quote Bono in U2, we're one, but we're not necessarily all the same. Because we've all got different characteristics, haven't we? We are. I can see you all out there. We're all very different. But Paul exhorts his church about the calling to live the whole life in response to God's summons. One of us, all of us, regardless of rank or ability, focusing on one common Lord, Jesus. And we have unity because of what we share in common. In Jesus, we share one body, one spirit, one hope of our calling, one faith, one baptism, one Father. Each of these common areas is greater than any potential difference. But that doesn't mean all congregations are the same, are they? I was just looking at before I came out, you've got plenty to choose from if you want to worship in any sort of way, it seems to me, in the church. Because we're not all one. We all like different styles of worship. I looked just online, even just the Protestant strain or denominations. Did you know, for example, in the world today, there's 59 types of Lutheran church you can choose from, 72 Presbyterian, 33 different Anglican strains in the world, 82 Baptists, slightly different types from each other, 29 different types of Methodists, and 128 Pentecostal versions. Something for everyone. But I was a bit disappointed to see that the church called the Lighters disbanded in 1830. There was only one of them, the Lighters, because they argued in between themselves. The old Lighters and the new Lighters broke away and they couldn't agree and they broke up and ended that church. So you can't belong to those. So there's plenty to choose from. So it doesn't mean you all have to look and speak the same. We're all given different ways of worshipping. Thank goodness for that. Out of the generosity of Christ, each is given their own gift. On to verse 7. Each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And there's that word. That most beautiful word to me in the English language, grace. Grace. The individual nature of grace is given to believers. A personal relationship to each one of you. Each one sitting here today in Mass. Grace is a gift. In verse 7, Paul opens that door up to our individuality. He's given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. Grace is given. We all have grace. The free, unmerited giving of God. No one deserves it, but everyone has it. And if you forget about everything else I've said tonight, just one thing to take away. Please don't worry. Don't fret. Because it's done. You have that grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy a ticket. You don't need a special ticket for the train. You have God's grace. That is the basis for God's distribution of the spiritual gifts through his church. Verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How do we build each other up? It's a constant growing process, isn't it? Because this section that Paul writes is emphasising that Christ, the church is Christ's body, can only function effectively with the recognition of each church member. It symbolises almost the different roles within the church, contributing to its unity and its strength. We are a team. We are a team. We're many, yet we're one. And our team is defined by our relationship to Christ. Christ has given every single one of us here today some sort of special gift, spiritual gift, so we can live up the one hope of our common God-given calling. Gifts that God has designed with the express purpose of building a people of power, of building a team that will help us win in this messy game of life. I was a member for many years in Saltburn of the thing called the 53 Society. It's a drama group that would put on theatrical shows. Surprisingly, I was an actor, but we all had different roles. And there was actors, there was people to do the lighting, there was people to do the costumes, sell the tickets. We were a team. And when we pulled together over there in Saltburn, we could put a decent show on. But when some of us were divas, let's say, on the stage, and I was the worst of them, I'll tell you now, the whole thing would fall apart and it was a poor show. When we pulled together, when we were mature enough and grown up enough, we would put on a successful show. And I'm sure you know gifts of the people sitting here today and the service that people do here today. Some of you will be quiet. Some of you will be shy. Some of you will be confident and loud, not naming any names. Some have unglamorous jobs here in the church to keep it ticking along, unlocking the doors, putting the heating on in winter, turning on the lights, checking everything's all arranged with the seating. Some have the gift of friendship within this church. Some have the gift of friendship. Maybe transport a friend or a relative to church. Some people have roles that are practical, making sure the PowerPoint's working. Thanks, mate. That would be my nightmare job, I can tell you. I haven't got that gift. That would be a terrible job for me. Some people get all the preachers sorted, or the teacher to midweek Bible study. Some people are encouragers, aren't they? They're encouragers. When I first started speaking 15, 20 years ago, you never know in the early days how the message is settling and whether you're holding the congregation. I would look at certain faces that I know were encouraging, and I know they'd encourage me back. Alan Hulliwell was one. He was over there at Redcar Baptist. Eric and Margaret were another. Encouragers, where I knew that I get a nod back. Not judging, but encouraging. Some people in this church maybe contribute to prayer. That's another gift. Or are on the trustee board or leadership board. Or they update the website or run the coffee. Or they visit the lonely. Prepare music. I mean, this week I nagged at them to do the live music because I think the tape music is great, but there's something about live music that I find very, very moving and I find very encouraging. So I nagged them to do their guitars. Sorry, guys. But I do feel that gift, which isn't easy. It isn't easy. It's much easier to sit back and have a tape, but they push themselves to play. When those gifts are used, by all those ones I mentioned, when those gifts are used, when that happens, then it's good news, folks. Verse 16 takes place. From his hymn, the body grows, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, and it helps other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Paul says, Spirit-enabled unity produces diversity of gifts and their expressions of divine grace. The ultimate goal, of course, is maturity. Maturity, unity in faith and knowledge of Christ. Paul says, when we act as a team, the whole body, the whole team is healthy. So this passage holds out the promise that the power of God is made real in our teamwork. And it accomplishes wonderful aims for the creation. When we play and act as a team, we will fulfill the God-given vision for the church. I'm not the director of the play. The church leaders aren't the directors of the play. The Bishop of Whitby isn't the director. We're team members. We have a role to play. We do our part, and then the team wins. Jesus is the director. He's given us the script, but he's left us to run the play. And when we do, everyone wins, and we build a people of power. So what do we believe? Just a summary. Christ is the head of the church. All people have a role in the church to serve each other. Jesus directs, just as a body works together. And there's only one church, though many expressions of church. The church is to be united in love and worship of Jesus. So to finish with now, I'm going to finish with C.S. Lewis. He's a good place. He's always a good one to quote. C.S. Lewis, the Christian theologian, who was reminiscing about when he first went to his first early services. And he wrote, "When I first went to church, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it at all. I disliked very much their hymns and songs. I considered it hopeless, sixth-rate music. I disliked all the small talk afterwards. I was bored with the sermon. But as I went on worshipping, I began to see the merit of it. Why? Because I came against different people with quite different outlooks and a different education. And then gradually, my pride began to wear and peel off. I realised that those very same hymns, which to me were just sixth-rate music, were nevertheless being sung with devotion and great energy by an old chap in cheap plastic boots on the opposite pew. And then I realised that I wasn't fit to clean those boots." He writes, It got me out of my selfishness when I realised I need others. We all need others, folks. The church is to be united in the love of worship of Jesus. That is how we build a people of power. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.